Hey.
It's been a while.
Goodness gracious, has it been a while?
Yeah. Welcome back, everyone, to Authoress Cafe.
Yeah.
When was the last time since we recorded?
I think it was actually Lit Fest.
Has it been, what, almost half a year?
May, June, July, August. 6 months, yeah.
6 months. That's quite the hiatus. But if you guys got to listen to the episode...
Yeah, I'm amazed. Thank you, everyone, for the positive feedback on this new format.
Yes. And I think we should actually start from what happened.
And why we went on a 6 month hiatus.
Yes.
I do think we need to apologize for that.
So, can you pour us a cup?
Yeah, so it's still a little warm here in LA, even though we're almost in the middle of October already.
Yes.
But there have been lots of new brews.
Yes.
This actually made a debut after Lit Fest. I haven't put it on the site lately. But it has appeared at a few pop-up events. So.
At which... Sorry, we've been missing you guys.
Yes.
There's much to explain.
We will spill the tea like we are right now.
Thank you.
But cheers to good conversation and one heck of a story. Tell me what you think of it.
It's very light.
Mm-hmm.
Between the ice and that taste at the back of your throat, it's smooth.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, this one is actually called Pillows. And so, this tea is called Pillows.
Mm-hmm.
And as it suggests, it's an herbal.
Ah.
But I'm quite proud of this one. I wanted something that was like a good sleepy time tea.
Yeah.
And I know we have Twinkle recently, which is our new chamomile tea, which has been very popular. But I wanted something that was fully like rooibos-esque. I know the only fully rooibos tea we have is, Art Nouveau. So I wanted to add another rooibos to our mix, but I'm really proud of this one because what's been trending a lot lately in Asia as a popular flavor choice is actually chocolate mint.
Oh.
Yeah, they have chocolate mint everything. Apparently, like, the number one chapstick flavor in Asia right now is chocolate mint.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows up everywhere. But I've had this idea of like what's an herbal chocolate mint look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to make it with this. So it's actually a blend of honeybush tea and rooibos. Now honeybush is actually its cousin. It's a little milder and slightly sweeter than rooibos.
Yeah.
So that's why you said it's smoother and lighter. It's because it has that. But we actually use the cacao shells, which are not caffeinated.
What?
I know. So when you make chocolate, you have to roast. First you ferment, and then you roast it. But then there's a husk, and you remove the husk, and it leaves these little flake shells. But that's actually what we use as the ingredient to make the chocolate on this. Now, it still has very much of the cacao butter in it, so it's a little thick. It's not as thick as if I were to use the brewing cacao that I normally use in Silk Ribbon. So it's very light and delicate. And then it accompanies peppermint.
Okay.
And the last ingredient that I'm very proud of is it has Tulsi basil in it to give it a bit of that licorice-y sweet kick.
Yeah.
But it's all naturally sweet, and it's just a very mellow chocolate mint.
So nice.
Yeah, and it's really great iced.
Okay. Well, it is delicious.
So, very refreshing. New tea. I guess let's just dive into the explanations.
I suppose, yeah.
So Litfest was definitely a success.
Yes.
Very much so. So much so that we were gone for 6 months.
Yeah. Basically, we just had to keep up with the connections.
Yes. So, upon arriving to Litfest, before the events actually took place,
mm-hmm.
We befriended the mausoleum where it was hosted.
Yeah.
And I always love telling this story because I think this was the first time that I didn't have to seek out people. They sought us out.
Yes.
And they really enjoyed what we were doing and the way our booth looked and the way we did things. And they Facebook and Instagram stalked the heck out of us and found out that we did events.
Yeah, yeah.
So one thing led to another and they've asked us to start creating events for them. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're sorry that we basically have disappeared, even at the market.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we just had to reconnect with artists, and it was a lot of planning.
It was a lot of planning, and then a lot of personal things got in the way. Unfortunately, Despero is no longer with us.
Yeah.
And then we lost my favorite car in the world, which was the Scion XB.
Yes.
As everyone knows as the Dune Buggy.
Right.
We lost her. So it was just back to back of just life changes, growing pains. We do have a car now. We're better now. It's just markets just didn't really feel right after that.
Right. And due to, I guess, what we did have, as opposed to what we did lose, we're basically just changing it up, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we have the mausoleum. We are doing our second event now.
Yeah. So, we met after the mausoleum in June, and then we had this horrendous heat wave. In fact, I think we're just barely coming off of it.
Yeah, good times, LA.
We don't Thank even you. Know if it's going to come back. So, again, iced tea on repeat in the middle of October. But we also mainly took a hiatus from the markets just because of how incredulously hot it was.
Right.
Like, it was in the hundreds and I mean, there was a point where we would talk to the markets and they were like, yeah, we'll cancel if the peak is 95, which made sense, but it just wasn't coming down. So people held markets anyways. And then, of course, the results is who wants to stand outside in 100 degree weather?
Exactly.
So plus tea just, I mean, it can do good in hot weather if it's always iced, but in terms of selling loose leaf, it's not profitable. I mean, it just makes sense.
Exactly.
So, we just focused in on our wholesales. We got a few new accounts. We're very excited to share once they premiere.
Yeah.
And they have new blends as well and new things that we can talk about and, you know, I did my little sommelier thing and helped create menus, so it's very fun.
Yes.
But we can't talk about that right now. We can talk about that when they debut. But let's just say we've definitely been busy. But in between all that, we managed to work with Ryan and his swing dancing career. And we hosted a swing dance party in the mausoleum.
Yes. Thank you, Chester Whitmore, for coming, sir.
Yes.
Your performance was amazing.
We'll definitely link everything. We actually got some drone footage of it, which is incredible because it's like three stories, right?
Yeah.
Three or four stories. It's a lot. The vaulted ceilings and everything just filled with people dancing. It was pretty great. We also brought back our tea cocktails, which were very popular. But yeah, the mausoleum is kind of our new home for now.
Yes, there are dead bodies there.
Yes, I know. We get that question a lot. Yes, it is a actual functioning cemetery. It's actually interesting because it's one of the last family-owned and run cemeteries. Yes. In Southern California. And there's so much history in it. And yes, there are dead bodies there. they run, actually, we're on the mausoleum side, but we're also doing talks about the opposite side, which is the west side of the property. And that's more of your traditional plotted land. Right. Cemetery.
Yes.
But that's actually has a lot of pioneer residents, like some of the very beginning settlers of Pasadena, Altadena area. Nice. But it's very old and it's very fascinating. I always think I know enough about it, and then I learn more things every time I go and visit the staff, and it just blows my mind as a history nerd. I mean, we just casually went to drop off things with Keith, which is one of the family members that right. still runs the cemetery. And he's like, oh yeah, this office is my family's original home. And it's this ancient Victorian looking house, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
But it's just so, again, steeped in history and just immersive, and it's amazing. That's been in our backyard this whole time.
Serious.
Yeah.
So, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It's been a wild ride, but let me explain things. So, T-Spectral has kind of been trying to run on autopilot. We've been maintaining our wholesale accounts, obviously, in the background. But you may not see us at markets, but we are still very much active. We're still making tea. We're still taking inventory in. We're still shipping orders online.
Right.
But in the forefront, we've been creating The Collective. And that's a project that I'm very happy about. And that I feel like is a very adult decision that I made finally for my company. But basically, we used to go at things alone all the time with productions. Yeah. And we're just not necessarily too old for that, but we don't want to have to choose between the tea company, our nonprofit, and a new business. Yeah. So we created a collective.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And the collective basically is a way that all the people we do know that are interested in this can come together.
Right.
And work together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you, Rhythm Smith, for your fantastic contribution. And I want to thank some of the new members of the Los Angeles Anti-Bully Society.
Yeah, I want you to tell everyone about that, because Azure Lorc has made some changes too. And
Basically, Azulorca updated its mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was an umbrella for all the productions we did during COVID.
Right. So a little backtrack for everyone that's kind of new to us. Eugene and I founded our first business as a nonprofit back in 2010.
Right.
And that was Azulorca. And Azulorca started as a theater company. And then we turned into a live event company.
Right.
And then COVID hit, and we had a film festival, and Eugene brought it online.
Right.
And now...
the venture that I actually explored furthermore in COVID was actually the book publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
The film festival happened during 2015. And it was just a jumble of everything that we could do. And it's, you know, it's the internet. Obviously, if you could actually make things happen, you do it. And I don't know what it is with me. I'm like addicted to producing.
But it's not a bad hobby,
I guess. And there just came a point where a lot of the productions were just everywhere, and we weren't actually hitting the right demographic that we were aiming for. And so we shifted from an anti-bully society into a representing or advocating for multi-ethnicities in media.
Mm-hmm.
At which we still had our audience from the anti-bully society.
Yeah.
So hence we create a new division, which basically has all our geek stuff there. You know? So Fan Film Awards, we're shifting the magazine production to the, you know, LA Bully Society, and we're returning Azulorica back to its original format, which was a theater company.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how that switched around?
Right, I know, I know. But, we're hoping to actually start production by, like, next year, but right now we're just trying to work things out with LA Bully Society, Anti-Bully Society. LAS. Or Labs. I'm not
labs,
sure.
Labs, right?
We'll put in Labs. We'll put in Labs.
I don't know. Anyone have opinions on that? Let us know.
But, yeah. The new generation is different.
They are, but they're so willing, and it's just really nice to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
Especially with all the, I guess there's no nice way of putting it, there's so much hatred and stereotyping online with all the different generations and how we're not supposed to talk to each other.
Yeah, that gap is really dumb. Like, yeah. The less we talk to each other, the less we learn about what's going on. Yeah. And when you keep that communication barrier, between like people that should be sharing what's going on in the industry and what's happening for these new guys that are trying to actually get in, you're crippling us.
Yeah, you know, when I was a teacher, I just thought I was very lucky because I loved my students before COVID.
Yeah.
And I never knew there was such a gap, as they say, on the internet.
Yeah.
And I genuinely felt a connection with them, and the same was reciprocated. And we could talk like humans. But the way the internet makes it sound, it's like none of us can talk to each other.
Right.
And I really thought that's what it was like. And then we ended up opening up the Anti-Bully Society again, and we get these volunteers, and they're just so eager and incredible, and like they say they're so disrespectful to their parents, but it's so great to see parents our age or slightly older being responsible and reciprocative to their children.
Yeah.
And the generation is definitely in good hands. I'm not, I can't speak for everybody, but there is an active, like, communication.
Exactly.
There. Exactly. So it's been incredible.
Right.
And it's really great to foster that environment.
Exactly.
And create an environment for that to work in. Right?
Yes. And I don't know. It's just the strangest thing. I think we have the mainstream media now online. And if you actually are active online, you are probably not on Facebook. You are probably not on the main platforms, unless you're just there at, you know, for entertainment's sake. Because everybody else is on a gaming platform. I mean, NFTs are an actual economy right now.
Right now.
You know? Genshin Impact. Really. Guys. Like, really, if you want to actually, like, touch, you know, the new economy, it's not in cash. It's insane. It's insane. At which, I'm kind of happy that the world is changing. It's making us very mindful. And I'm hoping that a lot of you guys are not scared, because it's kind of silly that, you know, to be scared right now, because we are actually in control. We just have to make decisions now. I think that's the hard part. People have to make decisions.
And unfortunately, it's not always what sounds like it could be the correct answer, which unfortunately I'm learning the hard way.
Yeah, I know. You know, the whole algorithm and meta.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess we can do a tangent on that.
Yeah, why not?
So one thing that I have been working on in the background for T-Spectral, especially since markets are declining.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And then there's a lot of hucksters out there for the market system. It's very unfortunate. I've seen so many small businesses being taken advantage of. And I'm not saying all markets are like this.
Right.
But there's so many people that'll charge a large fee, not do advertising, or advertise it one way, and it's not. I mean, one common thing that a lot of small businesses that are in markets talk about on DMs, if you want to know the tea, is, hey, is this market really what it looks like on Instagram or TikTok? And we always look at the footage, and it's always older footage from, like, before the lift of COVID. So it looks big.
Yes.
But it's not like that anymore. I actually had another tea company DM me about that, and I'm glad I warned them about that, because they were going to charge them $200 for a 4-foot table. You know, and okay, then
seriously, some of you markets are not festivals. Stop acting like
and
festivals.
They were going to force them to get insurance and everything, which I get, but for a 3-4 foot table?
Come on, guys.
And they're like, yeah, you can only fit whatever you can fit on a 4-foot table.
Yeah.
No tent, no nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cruel. That's just cruel, especially in this weather. Again, there's a reason why a lot of people are leaving markets.
Yeah.
I had, you know, and also shame on you, a lot of your Chamber of Commerce that are trying to charge us $500 for a table when you know nobody's coming out.
Yeah.
Shame on you guys. And that's for the most basic. If you wanted, like, a prime spot, they start at $800 and up. Shame on you. I'm calling you out right now. But anyways, yeah. So I have been working on studying algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sponsored for this, but I've been trying to do the Meta Blueprint program. And it was very cut and dry. So I switched over to the Coursera version of the Meta Blueprint.
Yeah.
And I was able to learn, because I'm more of a visual learner, and videos definitely helped.
Yes.
But my goodness, it really helped me take the mysticism, like pull the curtains back, if you will, on social media.
Yes.
Half of what they tell you on the internet is not how you should be advertising your business, if that gives you a little hint. And it's a lot healthier than you think it is.
Yeah.
If you learn how to properly treat it like a business rather than... I think the problem is a lot of people get this idea that they absolutely need to be viral. And it's about the page views and the likes and the follows. And that does have a factor in it.
Yeah.
But that's such a... like a pin in your hat kind of thing.
Yeah.
And... it's very important to understand that social media for businesses is different than social media for individuals.
Right.
And right. It's understanding how to communicate that. That's more important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, with that, we're carrying on business, and we gotta congratulate the people that are actually doing much better at the markets.
Mm-hmm.
There are gems out there. You guys just gotta look. I know it's a lot of investing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hit and miss. But the ones that actually succeed, they're doing amazing.
Yes.
And we're very happy to have known them. With that, also, you are going to be beginning more of your tea education.
Yes. So, yes. One of the big things that is coming from this mausoleum event, and kind of has been blowing my mind, I'm still processing it even while we're talking, but as you know, about a year ago, my god, you guys have been on such a wild journey with us, first with the COVID lockdown, and... and then Cove, and yes. Then not Cove, and then Farmers Markets, and now this. You probably remember that I was writing a book. And what came of that is I was actually in the editing process with my editor, and there was enough kickback. Now, it's not the editor's fault. Don't go for the editor, because my editor is incredible. But... there was a lot of kickback, and we realized that the book had good substance, but it wasn't quite what we wanted it, like the final outcome of a product.
Right.
So I shelved it,
Right.
And then everything happened, and Zena published her book.
Right.
Congratulations to her recently, while we were going through utter chaos.
Yes. She had her booth at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, she's been doing books. She's actually scheduled for another one at the library.
Yeah.
So, very exciting for her. But, part of the mausoleum thing is, and I've been doing a lot of demos, and it's been really great for the staff.
Yeah.
Is tea lectures and tea school. And they love it. They absolutely want it. We just wanted to break the soil with a big event, like the swing dance event. About 120 people showed up, right. I think, total. We filled that hall like nobody's business. There's a lot of things that went wrong and good. We literally had to get industrial ACs because there was a heat wave that weekend. But aside from all that... they've been wanting me to work on a tea school.
Yes.
And so I've been developing a collection of my lectures and how to make that work. But most importantly, because we did mention this is a collective, I'm bringing on Jen from Fimbis to teach the herbal side of it. So one thing I'm really happy about that a lot of people notice when they do tea school... or tea lectures, is it's either just tea and just basic information, or just herbal and herbal information. But this gives you a little bit of both, which is kind of what people associate tea with.
Yeah.
So if you know more of the herbal side, you can learn more of the tea side. If you're more of a tea nerd but want to learn more about the herbal side, we have that too. And you get a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And what's even better is you're supporting local small business doing it.
at which I think you should probably explain why herbalism is different from tea.
Right. So, I mean, it's basically anything tea, and I'm sure you've heard this enough from enough people that are in the tea industry, anything that is derived from Camellia sinensis, the plant.
Right.
Or its varietal Camellia sinensis.
Yes.
Which, there's another deep dive. I found out there's other subspecies now because they've mutated it because of the weather. But those two main plants.
Right.
The sinensis. Yeah, so that's tea. Anything prepped with that is tea. However, as tea culture grows, we've created herbal teas, like the one we're having right now, which is technically not a tea. It is a herbal mixture.
Okay.
But that also kind of leans into apothecary work, which is, how do you use these herbs for medicinal benefits?
Yeah.
And so that leans more into that deep dive of herbalism, which also swings back into tea can be used as a medicinal treatment.
Yes.
And so it's kind of hard to draw those lines when you're just teaching about tea or you're just teaching about herbs.
Yes.
So this way we don't have to draw that line.
Okay.
We can teach you a little bit of everything. And what we wanted to really bring from these classes, more than anything, from Jen and I both agreed, is we want something that the average person that does love tea can learn something or learn about herbs, but also bring it home and actually use it.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. So it's not just like your noggin is filled with all these cool facts and you can start a cool hobby. It's when you leave that our lectures that day, you can go right immediately and go to your family or go to your wherever you live and apply what you learned.
Yeah.
And make it part of your daily life.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yay.
Anyways. Yeah. So that's in the works, and it's been occupying my time now. I finished all the algorithm stuff. It's been finished, the social media aspect of things, marketing, yada yada. Now I'm going back into this, which in turn is going back into writing.
Yeah.
Because I am writing lectures, and one thing you will be getting when you sign up for our tea school, is notes and basically a book, like a journal that you can actively continue to write in.
Yeah.
And apply what you're learning.
Right.
So some of what I was writing prior is going to be evolving into this. And it's really cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And speaking of writing, I've actually switched a lot of my authors to a hybrid system.
Yeah.
And basically, Azure Lorca is no longer doing ebooks because, good God, the percentages that Amazon keeps asking for is killing us.
Yes.
So, I don't know if anyone's actually familiar with the hybrid system of publishing. I know there are publishers out there that have their own version, but the one I'm actually adopting is the authors have to actually publish their own ebook by themselves.
Hmm.
Self-publishing. Because you need to keep your copyrights, and you need to keep your money.
Yes.
And at this point, it's not just the booksellers community that has dwindled down in number. It's now the libraries that are dwindling down in number.
Yeah.
And soon, it's going to be our print houses.
Yep.
Like, if we don't keep these people alive, I don't know how we're actually going to survive. And in that, it's not that the book community is actually going to die. It's just evolving. It's changing. It's just us guys that actually love to have printed material, we're going in the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah.
And I guess I just wanted to add this in because since you're publishing with Azure Lorca, I just want to warn everybody else, you know? And I'm very happy that audiobook productions are like the way now. I mean, ACOTAR is like everywhere thanks to everybody, not, you know, even reading a book sometimes.
So my props go out to the men. Like, Eugene started, and I'm not just tooting Eugene's horn, but the men that see how excited people get about ACOTAR.
Yeah.
And then they start reading it because they see that genuine excitement.
Yes.
And yes, come at me if you want. I'm not fully finished with it, but I do really enjoy, like, I think I love the world building in it more than anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes I actually wish, like, please remove sex from this. Like, there's just too much. I get that it's there, but I just think it's funny that it gets so much flack.
Right.
When I feel like it's very just Game of Thrones.
Right.
In the same kind of energy and the same kind of pacing.
Right.
So I just think that's so funny that Game of Thrones is like absolutely socially acceptable, but A Court of Thorn and Roses, no. Oh no. But it's the same thing. In essence.
In essence. Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's there's smut documented on paper. It's easier to go through those bits, but it's just as gory and action-packed and world-built as Game of Thrones, if you ask me.
Right, right. Yeah. I just think that readers are actually enjoying that part.
Oh yeah, they are. Don't get me wrong, people are. I'm not one of them, unfortunately, but,
right now, it's actually trendy.
It is. It's very trendy. It's
trendy to be, like, totally sexy. It is trendy to be, like, I guess, having a body count.
It's ridiculous. They built their own genre now. It's called romanticy.
That's so silly.
They literally, that's what they call it now, is romanticy. It's romance fantasy with smut.
Right. So, I'm just kind of happy. I don't know. It feels weird, but like,
I'm just happy. Everyone's saying that it's the gateway drug.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people are reading again because ACOTAR happened, and I'm very happy about that. I mean, for me personally, I wouldn't have even touched it, because I've become very blind to pretty covers.
Right.
Because I've worked, you know, I'm a reader. I've read enough that, you know, the Target aisle, any, like, fancy aisle, it doesn't faze me. It's fun to look at, but that's it. I won't buy it. What actually got me into it was it's accessible through Hoopla.
Oh.
And free.
That is true.
And there's multiple versions of it now. Yeah. Which, since you brought up audiobooks, so they have the dramatic read version, which reads like a play, which is absolutely incredible, because I miss radio dramas.
Yeah.
And then they have the traditional one.
Yeah.
So, it's so much more accessible. Storytelling, in its essence, is more accessible now.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm going on a tangent here, but, like, I just remember when Netflix first brought out Sherlock.
Yes.
And that standard of storytelling was so new, and people were losing their minds.
Right.
And then people wanted more and more. Like, that was the era where I really think they were like, Marvel was like, I think I see something here. Right. And then the Marvel Universe kind of happened. And that became such a standard that pow, bang, zoom. And it just got more intense in terms of storytelling on movies.
Yeah.
That we're at a point where we've had so many movies released and so many things that it's been like, what, 10, 15 years later, and we're burnt out on it. So to have something like A Court of Thorn and Roses, where people are left with an action-filled story and they're left to an imagination, and I know that they're planning to build A Court of Thorn and Roses as a Hoopla show.
Yeah.
But that there's still that gap until then that we're in right now where it's gaining in popularity.
Yeah.
And it's left to the imagination, and people are doing fan art and people are cosplaying these characters, even though we have no official art or documents of them, is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And it just brings back the liveliness of the book world again. I don't think I've seen anything this excitable to people since, like, the Hunger Games.
Oh, God.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, that world sucked.
I didn't like it. Yeah. I know that my friend Candace adores it, but I wasn't, it didn't feed me.
No, even the fans don't like the world. It's the story they love.
Okay.
The story they love. Like, yeah. Candace is actually, like, you know, is kind of a nice character. I'm not going to say she's, like, the greatest character. But the fact that, you know, she didn't even go for Gale kind of, like, you know, made people sad. Because that would have been a really great, you know, three-way kind of love story thing. But, you know, they didn't play with it. Love Triangle. There you go.
So, there you go.
I don't know why I missed that. Anyways, so you say they might be turning it into a Hoopla
show. I think they're in talks of turning it into a Hoopla show already.
Hoopla or Hulu?
Hulu. I'm sorry. Hoopla.
Okay. Sorry. Like, that's Hulu. A community. That's not a...
Hulu. Okay. But, yeah. So everybody's not sure how they're going to cast it, but... I don't know. I just think it's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to have new authors too. I mean, I don't want to say RIP Gaiman, but all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
With Gaiman's accusations.
Yeah, yeah. To be quite honest, like, it kind of fit his MO.
You know what?
I hate to say it.
It's kind of rude to say, but yeah, it did. And
I mean,
I was actually not surprised.
Not entirely.
I mean,
yeah, we're gonna keep saying this. I mean,
I was surprised, but then when his comment came out, I was like, "Yep, okay,
yeah, that checks out." At which I know people are like, oh no, we can't watch, you know, Good Omens anymore, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, guys, you don't know how many of the works that you've watched in the past have seriously dark information.
I talk about this all the freaking time.
Yeah,
why,
man,
is Narnia absolutely acceptable, especially in Christian media, when it is the most womanizing, looked down upon, like, thing? Like, there are actual, like, feeds upon feeds in Goodreads and Reddit about how people grew up on these stories, and now they're adults, and they're reading them to their kids, and they had to stop. Yeah. Because it just wasn't instilling values on their kids, like... I forgot which one it was. I think it was the Prince Caspian one, but yeah. Like, the bride doesn't have a name, and she's bartered, and they never give her a reason, like, rhyme or reason. Like, it's just, like, women are treated as goods unless you're the main heroine.
Yep, yep.
You know?
Exactly.
And then on top of that, like, just the social ideas of, like... manservants, and, like, I get it, they were there, but the way they just treated, like, their warriors and such, there was, like, barely any honor. It's like, oh, you're just a number in the cog.
Yeah.
But they were just talking about how, like, if we're gonna get politically correct, like, Narnia, and don't even get me started on Lord of the Rings, and the author, J.R. Tolkien, no, J.R. Tolkien. I got
just,
it.
Just say Tolkien.
Tolkien. Tolkien. My brain, because then there's the sun and back and forth. Anyways, the Tolkiens, don't get me started on them.
Yeah.
And their history of, like, you know, like, anti-feminism, basically. Right. I guess, like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just amazing how, if we're going to play that game, then we need to have a standard.
Yeah.
With authors.
With authors.
Yeah.
I know. I know, like, that's why it's been fun to actually see other people try to create their own Narnias.
Yeah. I mean,
the Golden Compass was actually a good try.
Yeah.
The Magicians is a huge nod to the darker truth, basically, into, I guess, those authors. They actually play on that. They really do.
Yeah.
You know? And there just comes a point where a lot of the readers that, you know, love the world have disagreed so much with the author. I mean, come on. We were watching a Harry Potter documentary.
Oh my goodness.
And, you know, the fandom itself, they're all confused over what to support now because they love Harry Potter.
It's interesting because, like, I was feeling that too. And, I don't know. Like, I don't want to out who we were with because, again, NDAs. But it was so funny for me to, like, walk, because it's October. This is, like, the Harry Potter time, the month, and I find my hankerings for it again. You know, I miss it. This is usually when you watch all the movies, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's politically correct or if I've grown out of it.
Right.
We literally went to a gay dinner party, and it was decked with Harry Potter. Yes, and it was so refreshing.
So nice.
Like, we literally sat there over, like, pasta talking about Harry Potter trivia, and it was just like, okay, we're all okay and on the same page, and we understand, like, the ramifications of her hatred against the trans community. But that being said, moving forward, and it was nice.
Yes.
So, it's just been lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, kudos to the reading community. You guys are thriving.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
I'm very excited with the way that people are responding. I mean, I know people give book talk such a bad flack, but, like, kudos to supporting independent authors and, you know. And I'm not going to sit here with a pair of rose-colored glasses and say it's all incredible and good, but just, I mean, those wonder stories, like watching the Rip Bodice make a second location and become large and impactful, to hearing the keynote speaker for LitFest, which was Octavia Bookstore, and just what they're doing for the community and how important that is. And, you know, especially in this time where the old pillars, like NaNoWriMo, unfortunately, because I was such a huge advocate of NaNoWriMo.
Yeah.
And, like, Gaiman was such an advocate for young authors to continue, and these pillars are being damaged.
Yeah.
Thank you for moving forward and finding new and more, you know, and creating stuff from it.
Yes.
So, yes, the reading community is thriving.
Right.
And we're moving. We're not stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if anything, I was watching a documentary about booksellers.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Hoopla. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of weird because, like, I remember working at a mobile, rare books store, like, almost a decade ago.
Yeah, it's been that
It's been that
long.
long. Wow. And it was funny because it just reminded me of all the people that would actually come by, and they tapped on the issues that millennials are not supporting the industry. And they're like, "No, we are. We're just buying ebooks
Or
instead."
we're buying directly, like all of these amazing, like limited edition launches
Yeah, I
for
mean,
solid books.
there are readers out there that cannot make it to the East Coast and into the book towns where they could actually buy a rare, like, I don't know, 1984 copy in, like, a hardbound in whatever production or publishing house. And, like, that is a lot of fun, I will say. I've been on that side before. And I wish that, we could actually have that back in some other format, which I'm pretty sure is happening already. It's just not with books. Okay? It might be with video games. Like, good God, I don't know how many people actually are, like, looking for an old NES system
They're
that still works.
reversing the funnel now, I think.
Right.
Like they're intentionally going out of their way to create collectible items for books now
Right.
and giving it directly to the patrons that have paid already and supported the campaigns
Yeah.
rather than just crossing their fingers and hoping that it becomes popular or limited edition.
Right.
So I think it's a reverse funnel now.
Okay. Well, whatever the case may be, maybe I'm not hearing other stories here because obviously America in itself wasn't really a big book collector country until, like, the 1960s. During the space age, and everybody wanted to, like, get away from, like, the futurism of America, and the romanticism just kept growing and growing. I'm pretty sure because Europe is so alive with it still, that it might be in a different country for all you know. But nevertheless, it was weird to actually watch that documentary and actually feel like I was part of it. And, like, the millennials actually did keep the book industry alive. And it's just the format changed and the appreciation changed. And I don't know about you, but, like, I feel like the same thing has happened to almost every other industry.
Oh, everything is totally shifting, which, again, doing my research and what you said earlier, don't be scared of it. Jump in.
Yeah.
Just don't take advice that's old at this point. Or here's a better thing. Look at the advice, then look at what you see and compare the two and
Right.
just stop listening.
Yeah, you have to make decisions.
Because the world is changing so fast around you that you can't trust what people say.
Yeah.
Trust what people have as their intent.
Yeah, 'cause, like, even AI has, like, gotten
Oh,
so
God.
ridiculously good now. Like, yes, it's stupid. Like, if you start with AI, it is like a baby, and you have to make sure it doesn't trip on itself because it has the delusion program set in it. Because it's the only way it's able to create anything. And it doesn't have complete connection to the internet or, like, to certain websites. I mean, like, you could ask it to analyze your data on Instagram. It does not have connection to it. So obviously it's not going to be able to look into it. Or at least depending on which AI program you're using, because there are different types. But really, like, at this point, it's all just a tool. And we're no longer in the days of, surviving online because reality sucks. It all sucks now. So you may as well just come to terms that until you find your community, you're not going to be satisfied. And even that takes choice. So I don't know. I guess I guess I gotta ask, like, how much, you know, access do people have to certain tools? Because I've been told that the new generation has total access to everything. They know how to use the apps. They know how to use everything. They just don't want to try.
From my experience, there is a difference, especially with our age.
Yeah.
There's a difference with people who are young enough when those tools come out.
Yeah.
And have seen the way they're used. Mm-hmm. Versus it's all handed to you.
Oh. Well, it's weird because, like, I know I'm being told certain things, but when I meet some of these people, it's not how, it's not what they've advertised
to me. That's like, when I was a teacher.
Yeah.
And none of the kids knew how to Google search.
Right.
And it just blew my mind because, like, at that point, Google Docs, the Google, like, what would you call all that? Google Suite? Was a Google thing. Google
Drive, yeah.
Drive, Suite, all that stuff was just coming out. It was becoming a requirement. Kids were supposed to work off of Google Drives from then on. And, yeah. Like, I mean, they were literally 100% Google kids.
Yeah.
But none of them knew how to properly search.
Right.
And didn't even think to use a search. Like, they would rather go straight to social media to learn things. Or
yeah.
YouTube. Or Wikipedia is always there as, like, the final... maybe this is true kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, man, it wasn't because they couldn't do it. It was because they were introduced to that tool already there, used for other things.
Right.
Like looking up restaurants or, you know, like purchasing things. So that didn't really quite click in their brain.
Okay.
And I feel like that's kind of how it is right now with all the tools available. These kids associate them as, like, this is for this, this is for that. This is how my parents use it. This is how it's usually used.
Right. Okay.
That's the way I see it. Okay. And it's interesting when you tell them, like, the way I had to literally sit there and be like, hey, let's share a screen online when I would have to work remote during the lockdown.
Yeah.
And show them how to properly Google search. It freaking blew their minds.
Okay.
So I think, again, don't listen to everything you say or you see or hear. Sit there and ask, how can you use it differently?
Yeah.
Because no one's talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like that has to deal a lot with disconnection with people.
Mm-hmm. And
because we're not able to talk to each other, we're not able to actually...
We're still learning how to communicate after the lockdown.
Yeah.
Because you realize there was literally a whole generation of kids that literally grew up their high school year in lockdown.
Yeah.
Or their junior high years in lockdown.
Yeah.
And they're coming into this world and they see what we're doing with the motions, but they don't know. Not only that, like, office jobs are changing.
What office?
You know what I mean, though? It's like, we're not there to share these stories.
Yeah.
We'll have a few disgruntled people post a video about it, and then we think that's verbatim.
Right.
But that doesn't reflect the majority of the population.
No. No. In fact, when I go to any of these, like, high-end buildings where they make me pay $45 to just park, only, like, 3 floors are taken over. And even at that, not every room has a person in it.
Yeah.
You know? A majority of it is, like, Regis or something. And it's insane. You know? This idea of, like, everybody should go back to the office. I'm like, what office? Have you seen some of these floors? They're, like, torn apart. Because they're thinking of actually, like, I don't know, putting a gym here. You know? Like, go to the 33rd floor of the U.S. Bank. I dare you. Let's see how many people are there. And it's insane. So it's hard to actually come to terms over not whether people are being honest, but
that's not the question.
It's not the question.
We're asking the wrong questions.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. No, I feel that very strongly. And unfortunately, that's something I had to learn the hard way with learning about social media and algorithms and, you know, because I built T-Spectral on social media.
Yes.
And the cusp of it. I mean, for God's sake, I mean, T-Spectral started as a blogger account.
Exactly.
And I was a lifestyle blogger. It's cringe to say that, but I was like, there aren't any lifestyle bloggers for tea. And I went out there with that education and documented sharing my experiences of learning.
Yeah.
And of course, with the other things to get, you know, the ball rolling, like the fashion and the recipes and all that. It was a wild time.
Yeah.
Cringy wild time. But we started there, and then right on the cusp of it, when I wanted to release my teas, it was still, you could still hire a blogger. You could still hire an influencer.
Yeah.
And that's not the case anymore.
No, no.
Yeah. And we are still learning the way social media is now, and now everybody has access to social media. I mean, even teens are allowed on social media now with parental controls. And we just started passing rules and regulations for the internet.
Yeah.
Just now. And it's moving, and people know it's a big part of their lives. People see that it's a big part of their lives. But nobody quite understands, like, what it is as a tool in our society now.
Right.
So learning it through asking that question, like, what asset does social media have to me as an individual in my life, or in this life I live versus the rest of the world, is the real question. And it was interesting to be removed from everything I knew.
Yes.
And learn it dry, and then learn it with video, and then learn it to how corporate would communicate to a business like myself, or even as an individual, and start to understand, like, it's almost like, yay, I made it to the moon, but now we have all these telescopes that can see beyond our galaxy. And then we just see this whole perspective and then wrap it back up, but we're still relevant. So how does that all connect to each other?
Right.
But that's the real lesson, isn't it?
Yeah.
The real lesson is, what are the questions that need to be asked at this point? And where are we heading in general?
True.
You know? And how does the way I understand my life and the way I run things or act upon things will be changed in the future? So, I don't know.
No.
Maybe no. I just went a little off the rail right there.
I think that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
It really does. And it's not that it's a blank slate, which I wish it was.
I think it's weeding out the noise at this point.
Yeah. And at that, I hope that everybody else can actually make your own trail.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
I think you need to, I think everyone needs to understand that they matter.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
No matter how much they tell you you don't.
Yes.
And what you like matters.
Yes.
And what you find as happiness matters.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be something that doesn't make you happy.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, if you're a serial killer, we can talk about that, but that's a whole other subject. But for the most part...
Yeah. I mean, Netflix is coming out with their own One Piece series, trying to align with the manga, and I'm not gonna watch it. So good luck, guys.
Oh no.
I don't know. It's a really dumb thing. But it's relevant. It's relevant. Yeah.
Well, I think we've been going for quite some time.
Okay. Well, in either way, thanks, guys, for tuning in. You guys take it easy, and thanks for passing by Author's Cafe.
Oh, okay.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.